This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Monday, September 27th. Good morning and welcome back to another hour of Morning Air on the memorial of St. Vincent de Paul, French priest who founded the Vincentian Order and the Daughters of Charity. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across our great nation to start your week. It's always great to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Don't forget, you can always download any segment from Morning Air or any of our shows. If you want to listen to it again or share it with others, just go to the Relevant Radio app, go to Shows On Demand to download our podcasts on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com. I want to bring in my colleague, our news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what's going on this morning that we should be paying attention to?
Well, the Holy Father had some strong words, John, on Sunday for his Angelus address talking about division in the church, saying it really can come from Satan, division and exclusion of no place in the church. He asked God to preserve us from the nest mentality, guarding ourselves in the small group of those who consider themselves good. He warned sometimes there are groups, maybe a priest and parishioners, some pastoral workers or movements and associations with particular charisms that maybe close themselves off to outsiders. He said it's necessary that we're called to build an increasingly inclusive world that excludes no one.
Absolutely. He talked about that the church should be more welcoming, and I think that that is a good message. I think we need to open our arms as a church and be more welcoming to so many more people.
Well, while we ought to always, of course, strive for holiness, our Lord in the Gospels warns all the time against trying to give that impression of being holier than thou, which can really lead to not being very welcoming. But boy, they welcomed another win, those St. Louis Cardinals yesterday, John.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's truly unbelievable. I know it takes a little humility for me as a longtime Cub fan to see the Redbirds come into Chicago, Wrigley Field, sweep the Cubs, and win their 16th consecutive game in the process yesterday, beating the Cubs 4-2 at Wrigley. It was pretty impressive. 16 wins is a big deal at any time. Listen to the last out, courtesy of MLB Network.
Now the runners advance. How, I don't know, to second and third, and there's two away, and a base hit could tie it up. The 0-2. Swing and a miss! He struck him out! It's the run of 21, sweet 16, and oh, how sweet it is!
The Redbirds extend their franchise record that goes all the way back to the beginning of the team way back in 1892. So it's pretty impressive. And I guess it's just a reminder of the old adage in sports and in baseball especially. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. So St. Louis is red hot.
Well, they certainly are. And, this keeps alive their shot at that last wild card spot in the National League right now. Big historic day for football yesterday, John. We grew up kind of like, with Babe Ruth, with all the home run records. We had Rick Dempsey with that long field goal record at 63 yards, and that was since eclipsed. And then along came yesterday.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. In case you didn't see it, you got to see the highlight. It's pretty amazing. Justin Tucker of the Baltimore Ravens, as time is running out, he kicks a 66-yard field goal. It bounces off the uprights, and it goes in to beat the Detroit Lions 19-17 in amazing fashion. 66 yards, the longest field goal in NFL history. So, yeah, a historic day in baseball and in the NFL.
Oh, it was great. It was great. Hey, just before we let you move on with the program this morning, John, just a quick shout-out of great thanks to Bishop Daniel Muggenberg, who you hear join us every Friday for a look at Sunday's gospel reading. He'd been auxiliary bishop in Seattle the past 4 years, and I had the great privilege of being at his installation mass in Reno. He's the new bishop of Reno, Nevada. A great gathering. Some 30 bishops were there on Friday, a cardinal, the papal nuncio as well, and our great congratulations to Bishop Daniel Muggenberg, and we look forward to continuing our chats with him every Friday, taking a look at Sunday's gospel. And while we were out there as well, a quick news note, got to tour some of the area damaged by wildfires, that Caldor fire southwest of Lake Tahoe on the way toward Sacramento. And very sad when you drive by, not only look at the, of course, many, many trees turn black with the hillside, but driving by and seeing just fireplaces and chimneys, knowing that there was a home standing there at one point. So prayers for all still battling wildfires, and for those trying to keep us safe doing the work of firefighting too.
Absolutely. We pray for all those families affected. And again, congratulations to Bishop Muggenberg. We're so blessed to have him every Friday to look ahead at Sunday's gospel, Glenn.
Absolutely. Look forward to that again this week, John.
Thanks so much. As always, we'll check in with you a little bit later. We start every hour giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings that we receive through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of relevant radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of relevant radio, pray for us. We always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Now, coming up momentarily, our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, will be with us to discuss the baptismal font as we continue his Be Formed series. A little bit later, at the bottom of the hour, Timmery Jaja, the host of Trending with Timmery, will be with us to talk about the cancel culture. Do you know anybody that's been canceled, or have you ever been canceled? We'll chat about it with Timmery a little bit later on, and we'll also have another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and much more here this hour on Morning Air. As always, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 3:5. Jesus the Lord says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Our Lord Jesus Christ makes it very clear that we must be born again of water and the Spirit to enter heaven. This verse reminds us that baptism is the foundation of our Christian life, the beginning of our life in Christ as Catholics. Baptism also removes the stain of original sin and is the door through which all the other sacraments flow. Our Lord himself said that he who is baptized will be saved. So let's appreciate the gift from God of being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we always pray with great confidence and gratitude. Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, baptism is the first of the sacraments that enshrine the true birth of a Christian. It is through baptism that we are purified from original sin and become part of the church and of the body of Christ. And now joining us to continue with his Be Formed series and to talk about the meaning of the baptismal font is our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain known as the baseball priest, as well as the director for the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and a Morning Air contributor. Good morning, Father Burke. Welcome back. Always great to be with you.
Great to be with you too, John. And I have to say, it was tough listening to the Cardinals' sweep of the Cubs, but I also have to share, my parents grew up in Pinckneyville, Illinois, which is southern Illinois, just on the Illinois side of St. Louis, and they were diehard Cardinal fans. I didn't grow up a Cardinal fan growing up in the Chicagoland area, but I have to say the Cardinals give me a little connection to my parents who were both deceased. God rest their souls. But it was a tough weekend for us Cub fans.
There will be many, many better days down the road. And unfortunately, that was the last home game at Wrigley Field this year for the Cubs. So there's always next year, of course. But my hat's off to St. Louis. They're just playing amazing baseball. You know, as we've seen in the past, you never know what can happen. Once you get into the postseason, anything is possible.
Absolutely. Just a few weeks ago, you might have thought they were not going to make the playoffs, and now they may be one of the teams that everybody has to look out for. Win one wild card game, and you can get on a roll. And we've seen wild card teams win the World Series.
Absolutely. I don't think that any of the highly touted teams, the divisional winners, any of them are going to want to tangle with the red-hot St. Louis Cardinals here in the playoffs.
No, unbelievable. And as you said, the longest field goal in NFL history. It's an exciting time for sports right now in both baseball and football.
Did you catch that field goal, that Justin Tucker 66-yarder? It was amazing. I mean, the ball had eyes. It just hit the crossbar, doink, and went in.
I saw the replay, and I saw that highlight come up on my phone. I thought, what, 66 yards? It's incredible. Yeah, good for him. And, they say records are meant to be broken. And now we'll see if anyone can beat his in our lifetime.
Absolutely. Well, let's switch gears and talk about the sacrament of baptism from a Catholic perspective. Talk about the baptismal font, which I know this is part of your series of discussions that you've been teaching about the meaning of the church and all the symbolism. Let's talk about baptism and its relationship to the baptismal font.
Sure. Yeah, we have an adult formation series called Be Formed, and so we're kind of working our way through the outside of the church and now through the inside as we're going to start to walk people through the Mass. But the little bit of history about baptism, there's so many connections in our Catholic faith with our Jewish ancestors. In the Jewish faith, there's a lot of ritual washings. And so when Jesus came along as the Messiah, the Christ, kind of the entrance into his family was baptism. It was another washing in the river. And so John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the water as a sign of Jesus wanted to become one with his people. And then now, after Jesus rose from the dead, baptism became one of these, became the entrance into the church. And so in the early church, baptism happened outside in a river and in flowing water. And then as the Christians began to be persecuted, they couldn't any longer do, public baptisms out in the open, so they brought baptism inside a place where it was private, like in the catacombs. And they found, we find in the catacombs kind of images on the walls of baptism where somebody is standing in a basin of water and water is being poured over them. And so there's been many forms of how baptism has taken place. And then when Christendom happened, in early 4th century, it could become public again, the baptism. But what they did was, and you see it in some churches in Rome, where the baptistry, which is the word used for where baptisms take place, where the baptism font is, there's some places like at St. John Lateran Church, the Pope's Church in Rome, there's an external building next to the church where the baptismal font happened. And then those who were baptized could enter into the church as part of God's family. And then eventually the baptismal font was moved inside the church, usually right inside the entrance. So the first thing that happens as you enter the church is that baptism, and then you became a full-fledged member as a son or daughter of God. And so that's why we see in most of our churches today, the baptismal font is right inside the entrance doors to the church.
Father Burke, what has been the traditional understanding of the difference between being immersed for baptism in water and being sprinkled. Obviously, some of our separated brothers and sisters, some of the other Christians, they baptize through immersion. And obviously, by and large, especially with infants, we do it by sprinkling.
Right. Yeah, so we believe, because what we see in the early church, we see this sprinkling of water over people in the catacombs, that either is acceptable. So in some churches, like I have baptized some people by immersion in our baptismal font when it's, you know, big enough. But most of the time we do the sprinkling. So what the church says is for a valid baptism, we need some form of the sprinkling of the water, either immersion or the sprinkling of water over the head. And the Trinitarian formula, you know, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And it harkens us back to, you know, Jesus' own baptism. We see the Trinity at work, where when John baptizes Jesus, the heavens open up, the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus in the form of a dove, and we hear the voice of the Father say, you know, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And so we see the Trinity at work in that baptism, and we believe that same thing happens to each one of us as we are immersed, or that water is poured over our heads, that God claims us as his beloved sons and daughters, and the Holy Spirit descends upon us, and the very life of God in the form of the Holy Spirit lives within us. And what an incredible gift.
And Father Burke, every time we enter a Catholic church and we bless ourselves with holy water, whether it's from the baptismal font or just as you walk in the door, it's always a reminder of our baptism.
It is. And so that's one of the things I'm trying to help people become aware of, the beautiful signs and symbols in the church. It's so full. So when we're baptized, you know, oftentimes baptismal fonts, some of them go kind of down, where, you know, if people are immersed, they step into the water and they're going down. And you hear in the prayers of baptism, you know, as this person dies with Christ in the waters of baptism, they rise with him to new life. And so when we see baptismal water or holy water, it should be a reminder that of Jesus's passion, death, and resurrection. And when we put our hand in that holy water and make the sign of the cross, it should be a reminder of what Jesus has done for us, you know, what he did for us 2,000 years ago, but also what we're celebrating at Mass that day, and also the sign that we are, wow, I'm a beloved son of God, and it's a reminder of that identity in him. So let us not just blindly take water and make the sign of the cross, but let it be a reminder of who we are in God's eyes. And I always encourage people, you know, we celebrate birthdays, but get to know the day that you were baptized. Mine is May 26th, and celebrate your baptismal day as much or more as you do your birthday, because that's the day you became a child of God, which is historical in many ways, because that's where we're marked with the Holy Spirit.
So funny that you should say that, because I have a holy card from my first Holy Communion, believe it or not, Father, and on the back, I actually have my date, June 28th of my baptism, just as along with first confession, first communion, and confirmation, just as a little reminder of these beautiful gifts that we have from the Lord.
Yeah, and that's a good point. If someone's saying, well, how do I find that out? If you don't know where you're baptized, maybe ask your parents, or because our baptismal church is our home base, if you will, as Catholic Christians. So wherever you're baptized, it's marked in the baptismal registry in that parish. And then whenever you receive another sacrament, even if it's at another parish, even if it's in another country, record of that sacrament is sent back to your baptismal parish. That's how we keep track of if somebody's got their first communion, confirmation, been married, been ordained. It's all in that line where in that church where you were baptized. And if your church has been closed, unfortunately, then those records usually go to the chancery of the diocese. But they are maintained. And so maybe call your baptismal parish and ask for a baptismal certificate. with your other sacraments, and then you'll have all of those dates that you can celebrate as a disciple of Christ and as a child of God.
Father Burke, also, we didn't talk about the different shapes, but there's a lot of different shapes of the baptismal fonts. Real briefly, can you tell us a little bit about the meaning of the shapes of the baptismal font?
Sure. I would encourage you, maybe you're aware or not, if you can think of right now, what is the shape of our baptismal font in our church? Some are circular. Some are in the shape of a cross, which is obviously a reminder of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Some baptismal fonts are octagonal. They're eight. They have eight sides, or it's shaped like an octagon, and that's a reminder that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. And so, if you count, the next Sunday would be 7 days later. It would be day eight. So eight is a sign of the resurrection, and so. I know many baptismal fonts have eight sides. There are some, we have one baptismal font in our diocese that's, it looks like a tomb or a casket where you walk down into the water, and that's that sign of dying with Christ and rising with him to new life, dying to your old self, original sin, and rising, as this pure child of God. So all of these baptismal fonts, the shape of them has a meaning and a purpose. So get to know your church and pay attention when you visit other churches. Look for that baptismal font as a reminder of your own becoming a child of God and what Jesus does. He claims you as his son or daughter.
Well, Father Burke, as always, appreciate your spiritual perspective on so many different issues that we talk about. Thanks again for being with us here on another Monday morning.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure, and God bless you and all who are listening.
God bless you. Father Burke Masters, the director of the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and the baseball priest, as well as a Morning Air contributor. We're going to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Timuri Jaja, the host of Trending with Timuri here on Relevant Radio, is going to be with us to talk about the cancel culture. Do stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air as the show continues after this short break.
Get connected to the conversation.
Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio
and the Relevant Radio app.
30 minutes after the hour, welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now I want to switch gears and talk about the so-called cancel culture in this day and age. The cancel culture has evolved rapidly to mean very different things to different people. Over the last few years, the social media trend has gained momentum under the trendy new name, placing celebrities, companies, media, and regular Joes alike under the microscope of political correctness. Celebrities like Johnny Depp, Ellen DeGeneres, J.K. Rowling, Kirstie Alley, Chris Pratt, Piers Morgan, Matt Damon, the list goes on and on, all have been canceled in the last couple of years. What should we know about how extreme the cancel culture is, and what can we do as Catholic Christians to fight back? Now joining us on Morning Air is our very own Timuri Jaja to talk about the cancel culture. Timuri is the host of Trending with Timuri on Relevant Radio that you can hear weekdays at 6 p.m. Central. Timuri is also a Catholic speaker, educating in areas of theology, and is an expert at responding to current trends of sexuality, feminism, and gender ideology. Good morning, Timuri. Thanks again for being with us this morning. It's always good to be with you.
Good morning, John. It's great to be here. And even with this topic of cancel culture, way to start a Monday.
Absolutely. Well, I get a chance to tune in from time to time in the afternoon, but it's good to hear your voice here with our Morning Air audience in the morning.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about this cancel culture that has gone mainstream in recent years. For folks that have heard the term but just really don't understand exactly what it is, can you kind of give us the lay of the land?
Cancel culture is basically you define your own reality, and that is if someone says something even remotely offensive to you, even if you're assuming what they meant or even putting words into their mouth, you can cancel them. Now, this could be for political, moral, religious beliefs. It could be even, I mean, honestly, this started long before it became a cancel culture on social media. It started in our lives. If you did something contrary to what I believe is right, what I'm comfortable with, what I even want you to say as a friend, I could cancel you. You know, this falls under the lines of, you know, young people today going no contact with their parents as well, where they're suddenly out of nowhere writing these letters saying, don't make any contact with me. I don't know if I'll be contacting you in the future. You know, you're the cause of everything. Sometimes they'll say everything that's gone wrong with me, or you shelter me too much. It's this whole pervasive culture of if you say or do something that offends me, even if you didn't mean it, even if that's not what you actually did or even said, I can cancel you. You mentioned some people, such as J.K. Rowling, among others, who have been utterly canceled by the culture, where people say, you know, you can no longer be a fan of this person. You are no longer allowed to be in movies. You know, it was interesting. One example I'll give of this a couple years ago, because I think this is one of the most shocking. A few years ago, the actor Mario Lopez spoke out, and he said something about how playing with, essentially, and these are my words, but allowing for gender to be pushed on or changed with little itty bitty children. So for a little boy to say he's a little girl or vice versa, and then to go ahead and dress a kid in that way, or to do cross-sex hormones or whatever this culture is doing, pushing for that gender ideology, he said that's actually damaging for kids. It's not good for kids. Kids are still working out a lot of things and they're little. You know, why would we do something like that to kids? And, you know, he was alluding to a statement a lot of people have made that it's child abuse for children, for parents to push these ideologies. The culture in terms of media and Hollywood lashed out against him. What happened? Within a couple of days, he said, oh, never mind. I was wrong. I didn't know what I was talking about. I was ignorant. Why? Because he didn't want to lose his income. He didn't want to be canceled. And so he apologized. But even then, that's a funny thing. You can apologize, but it still doesn't fix things.
It's truly outrageous when you really think about it. Tell us, how did this all begin? Where did it come from? How did it start? And did we ever see signs of this, you know, years ago? Oh, well, it just wasn't being called cancel culture.
You know, I was thinking about this morning, and it has never, ever been something new. And I think about it at the time of Jesus. Jesus was up against his interlocutors, the people who disagreed with him. For example, the Pharisees. The Pharisees were people who held very heavily to the law. They were a group of Jewish people, it was a Jewish sect. And they did not like what Jesus had to say. And so they tried to cancel him. They tried to stone him. They, in the end, ended up having him not just scourged, but crucified. But time and time again, they would try to test him. They would even try to trap him. That is exactly what the current culture is doing. I mean, just take any person who, whether it's a movie star or a politician, who holds especially to anything that resembles a moral, pro-life, faith-based perspective, the reporters try to corner you in interviews, try to say something, get you to say something so that they can twist it or end up creating it to polarize people against one another. And then they try to point at them, and they essentially try to persecute us to the point of a crucifixion today. And this is the attitude. You know, it used to be in the early church, when a Christian would come before an emperor or a king or various places, when there was massive persecution, the idea was convert, completely give up your religion, blaspheme, you know, turn to foreign gods, say, you know, stomp on a photo of the Blessed Virgin Mary or Jesus Christ, and all is well. And that's what you and I are up against today. It's the same that the early Christians in the early church went through. It's the same thing Jesus Christ himself went through, but he died. He was willing to not give up. He didn't give in.
Timmery, I love your perspective, always bringing a spiritual perspective into the conversation. You know, when you think about it, you're so correct. I mean, they were trying to cancel our Lord way back at the time of Christ. And so this is not anything really new. It's just, I think it's newly packaged in the recent years, in the last 4 or 5 years, this whole idea of the cancel culture. I want to bring our listeners into the conversation. If you've ever been canceled or you know someone who's been canceled, or perhaps you were a fan of some celebrity that's been canceled, or you have a question or comment on the cancel culture for Timmery, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Timmery, whatever happened to redemption? Whatever happened to objective truth? I mean, if somebody's speaking the truth and they get canceled, what then?
This is, I think, where we have to have the virtue of fortitude, because what if we are saying something that is true and we get canceled? This is actually what's happening for the vast majority of people, whether it's author J.K. Rowling of the Harry Potter books, and again, whether or not you're okay with Harry Potter, I mean, that's a whole other conversation, but she was canceled for telling the truth about men and women against this gender ideology. It's interesting. A lot of the cancel culture surrounds people who uphold femininity and masculinity, and it's absolutely riveting, but it's been happening for years to people of faith. You know, it's fascinating because certain people can, quote, hold their rosary beads and use Catholicism and make it look as if they're Catholic. They might even go to church, but they may be living a completely radical idea of what they think Catholicism is, and it is against what the church teaches. And I think that this is where we have to see, well, what about those people who are standing firm in their faith, who are telling the truth? And let's say they're being canceled on YouTube. They can no longer post on YouTube. Let's say that their Twitter accounts were canceled. These people are having to make a decision. I can either bow to the culture we live in and either remain silent, or I could just say what the culture wants to hear and keep my accounts or create new ones. Or I can still continue to speak up, but it's going to have to be in a different way. Well, the reality is, John, most of us aren't in a circumstance where we're being canceled necessarily on YouTube or Twitter. You know, we might have a tweet taken down or whatever it is. But here's the reality. We are called to not allow this culture to make us afraid of telling the truth. And I think that this is the sad thing, John, is for many of us, we've had zero encounter with a cancel culture personally. We haven't actually been canceled. But what's happening is, when it comes to personal relationships, when it comes to family events, and don't get me wrong, sometimes, you know, keeping the peace at Thanksgiving is an important thing to do, but we remain silent. We don't speak up. And in fact, silence for too long can eventually lead to a change of behavior, because we're afraid to be the person that we're created to be and to tell the truth, not just with our words, but with our behavior and witness.
Timmery, I'm thinking of one of my heroes, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who used to say, the truth is the truth, even if nobody believes it. An error is an error, even if everybody believes it. And I think that his words are so relevant in this day and age. I mean, we have to be not afraid to say what is true. And if you get canceled, well, you get canceled, but it's better to stick up for the truth than to worry about other people's opinions.
Amen. And, you know, I keep thinking of this. We did a series on trending recently. We did a 4-week series on the four cardinal virtues. And one of those virtues is fortitude. And fortitude is, again, for some reason, we don't think about what this is, but it's this idea of acting in the face of fears, to still do what is good, what is right, what is moral, even in the face of, let's just say, a difficulty, that it's hard to do something, or a perceived difficulty, or acting in the face of fear to the point of death, as actual virtue itself is. Fortitude is what helps us to overcome the challenges that we perceive or that are truly present. If we're not praying for virtue, if we're not choosing and seeking out a life of virtue, it's going to be really hard to live out our faith against this pervasive cancel culture.
Absolutely. And as Catholics, we believe in redemption. We believe that people can make amends when they make mistakes. It seems like the cancel culture, there's no redemption. There's no forgiveness.
Amen. We have to continue to speak up and to forgive those people who have made mistakes in our own lives. This is where confession is so important, especially the Our Father, that we forgive those who have trespassed against us as well.
Absolutely. Again, if you've been canceled or you have a question or comment about the cancel culture for Timmery Jaja, the host of Trending with Timmery, our number, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Beverly, Sam, stand by. We're going to get to you after a short timeout as we continue our conversation with Timmery Jaja, the host of Trending with Timmery. Stay with us. Much more to come after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Well, now some big-name actors are raising their voices to oppose this new reign of terror. This is actor Bryan Cranston.
We live in this cancel culture of people erring and doing wrong, either on purpose or by accident. Isn't it possible that, forgiveness plays a part in that and they are welcomed back in, as opposed to creating more fences, creating more? You make one mistake, gone.
46 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us as we continue our conversation about the cancel culture with our very own Timmery Jaja, the host of Trending with Timmery, that you can hear every day here on Relevant Radio at 6 p.m. Central. Timmery, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Timmery, we have a few callers that want to chime in on this issue of the cancel culture. Sam's been waiting for a little while from Athens, Georgia. Sam, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning, John and Timmery. I just wanted to comment on the MLB All-Star game being canceled out of Atlanta this year, and that Coca-Cola was behind it because they didn't like a law our legislature passed to tighten up voter rules in the state.
Absolutely. I'm with you. I think Major League Baseball actually succumbed to the pressure, and a lot of people were affected by that decision of MLB. Timmery, that's just one of the many instances that we see the effects of the cancel culture.
Man, Georgia can't get a break. This has been a few years now where Georgia, over and over again, because they're pro-life, because, you know, they have laws that uphold anything having to do with voting and legal voting, among other things. You know, Georgia has been canceled for years by Hollywood. Hollywood saying that they would no longer make movies in Georgia. And some people might say, well, why is that a big deal? If you didn't know, Georgia's kind of become a Hollywood 2.0. It's been another one of those areas where a lot of movies are made, because it's a lot, in part because it's a lot less expensive to make movies. The laws there, the laws are more permissive. So it's fascinating this is happening. I mean, even my home state of California, anyone who works for the state, the government in California, if there was a great conference in Georgia, for example, you couldn't go to Georgia for that conference. Why? Well, because Georgia is pro-life. They've passed pro-life laws in their area having to do with everything from restrictions on abortion surrounding heartbeat, among others. So, you know, I think it's fascinating to see even this example of Major League Baseball, their games getting canceled out of Atlanta, because what it shows is a bullying. You have to remember, the cancel culture, the people who cancel other people, are bullies. And it's a matter of who can be the loudest, who can have the most power, who can have the most control. And I think that this is a great example that this isn't going anywhere anytime soon. And if they can cancel Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball can cave, well, like many people, even, for example, actor Johnny Depp, who recently commented that it's It's out for all of us. He said that no one is safe. Absolutely no one is safe from this cancel culture. And Grant, he's saying that because he got canceled by his wife when she accused him of domestic abuse. And she ended up writing an op-ed in the Washington Post talking about domestic abuse, but not naming him. You know, we don't need to take so much credit to people like Johnny Depp and others who are like, oh yeah, the cancel culture is out to get you. Well, sounds like you abused your wife. So maybe it's a good thing at a certain point if people say, yeah, maybe this guy isn't that great. But clearly people still care because they're listening to him talk about the cancel culture, not realizing what he did. So this whole thing, I think coming full circle, is how can we handle what may come for us, and how can we get ourselves to overcome fear because of what we're seeing in the culture?
Thanks so much, Sam. I appreciate your perspective. Beverly is with us, calling from Friendswood, Texas. Good morning, Beverly.
Good morning. Yes, I had a pretty local example of the cancel culture. My son is a police officer and he wasn't a chaperone. He was there as like just watching out. And there were around 300 sixth graders at a pizza party. And one of the mother's sons, they kind of host the event. And they're the DJs for the party. And a series of four songs came on that were lewd. They used the B word, the F word, assault against women. And my son was listening, and he Googled the artists and the lyrics, and he went up to one of the chaperones and said, do you know what these kids are listening to? And the lady said, oh no, I'm old, I can't understand. And Matt said, my son said, oh, she was about 40 years old, so I mean, that's not old. And he showed her on his phone the lyrics, and she kind of shrugged like, oh geez, you know, now I have to deal with this. Long story short, my son's girlfriend posted on Facebook about this, not accusing anybody, not getting mad, just saying, parents, be aware of what your children are listening to. And there were over 300 responses to her post, basically saying, oh, the lady that put it on, she's a good mom, the kids are good. No one was attacking the mother. No one was attacking the children. What the point was, listen, pay attention to what's going on in your children's lives. Listen to the music they're listening to. There were maybe a handful, possibly a handful of people that agreed this was wrong. And I'm even thinking, I mean, I'm 67. My children are out of the district. We're not even from here. I'm even thinking of going to a school board meeting and bringing it up. But it was just this pervasiveness of, no, it's okay, you know, Elvis was bad in his time, and basically the parents didn't want to hear it. And it's frightening to know that sixth graders are, their parents are basically, leave it alone, you know, let it go, let it pass.
Thanks, Beverly. Timory, your perspective on this.
Wow, Beverly, I am so glad you just shared this story, because this touches on everything from the cancel culture to parents who are exhausted, or parents who defend this idea of, quote, parent shaming. You know, parents are so busy today and they're like, oh, don't give me one more thing to do. And so a lot of them will get offended if any way there's a criticism surrounding something that they're not protecting. I think the reason why there were over 300 responses, basically, most of them were criticizing your son's girlfriend, who was saying, hey, this is a problem that little kids, as you said, sixth graders, are hearing really bad words and content in terms of a song. And that's because a lot of the people responding aren't paying attention to or vetting or taking control of the music and content that comes into their own home. Now, this is fascinating. I just actually had a similar experience the other day. I was getting my teeth cleaned, and my baby girl is, you know, 9 months old. She's sitting on my lap as my teeth are being cleaned, and the music's playing here. And first of all, it's also kind of early in the morning, so I'm thinking, this isn't very nice music this early in the morning. But the F word's dropped a couple of times, and I kind of like twitch practically right away, because I'm just sitting here thinking, I'm literally at a family dentist group. My baby's with me. I don't see other children. But how is this okay? If this slipped in this one song this early in the morning, I mean, what else could be played in here? Now, grant, my baby's pretty young, so I'm like, I'm not going to go here right now. The dental hygienist has stuff in my mouth. But I was thinking, wow, if I said something right now, I would be really curious what the reaction would be. And you just gave a firsthand example that until someone kind of blows the whistle saying this music isn't appropriate for children, other people will just continue to move forward with the status quo of not just playing that music around children, but as a culture, us accepting content that is everything from explicit sexually to explicit in terms of the verbiage that is used that's outright cursing. And I commend your son for speaking up and saying something. I commend your son's girlfriend, because this is where we do have to speak up. And I think that the challenge is it shows there's an uphill battle as well for parents in not allowing the exhausting idea, the difficulty of vetting music and movies and TV shows, video games, social media from protecting our children. I think this brings up a really important point that we have to protect kids even when we're afraid that other people will cancel us for wanting to have more control over what content passes the ears, eyes, hearts, minds of our kids.
Absolutely. Beverly, thanks so much for your call. We have time for one more quick call. Patty is joining us from Chicago. Patty, good morning. You're on with Timmery.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Timmery. The thought occurred to me regarding Facebook and how long it's been around and how perhaps there's been grooming as far as liking, disliking, and the beginnings, the infancy of perhaps cancel culture. And of course it happened with canceling, with rejecting our Lord in the time of Jesus and how horrible that was. And yes, it goes on today, but it's encouraged or has been encouraged through the beginnings and infancy of Facebook, starting with our new generations.
Timmery, quickly, we've got about a minute.
I think it's a good thing that the younger generations don't use Facebook. You know, they're all about everything from TikTok to Snapchat to Instagram. And luckily, there aren't dislike buttons there. But when Facebook introduced that dislike button, I remember my first reaction is, what a horrible thing that we could literally dislike someone else's photo, memory. I mean, we're not just talking about news articles. So I think there's a reason that that hasn't crept into other forms of social media that young people are on a little bit more. I think there's like that slightest bit of moral culpability these users have knowing that little kids are on it. But I think that this brings up a conversation that it doesn't matter if there's a dislike button. It's the comments that are used that can be harmful for kids. And this is where, you know, creating a sense of self-control, creating a sense of guidance for kids at the age-appropriate time to use these media is so important today.
Thanks so much, Patty. Timmery, we're going to have to leave it right there. I really appreciate your insights. I know you're plugged into the culture and to the young people, and it's so important for everybody to know what's going on, especially about this issue of wokeness and the cancel culture. Thanks so much, Timmery.
Thanks for having me.
Timmery Jaja, the host of Trending with Timmery. You can hear her every day, 6 p.m. Central, right here on Relevant Radio. And now it's time for Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called They Need Us Now by Carol Boucher Ottlinger. I see them in the nursing home as they try to keep their pride. They ask me if I'll take them home because they need a ride. Then tears well up within their eyes and their hands hold tight to mine. Soon, I whisper, you'll be home and all things will be fine. I sing a song of yesterday. For a minute they recall, then the blank looks, they're back again. It's as though they've lost it all. They were teachers, bankers, mothers. They were fathers, big and strong. And now their fragile bodies don't know where they belong. I call their name, they don't look up. I hug their thin, small frames. They lean on me for just a while. They don't even know their names. I leave them with an aching heart, knowing someday I'll be among the very many who've drifted off to sea. Billows roll, the thunder roars, somehow the ship steers straight. For at the helm our master stands, taking us to heaven's gates. Isaiah 46:4 reminds us, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he.
I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you.
Thanks so much, Glenn. I want to remind you, you can always listen to all of Glenn's Story Corners or our Morning Air podcasts or any segment that you want to share with others. Just download it at the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producers Gabby Burke, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, the whole Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Open the doors to Christ. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you on the next Morning Air. Patrick Madrid is straight ahead.